Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's very own personal finance podcast. In our last week's podcast, we spoke to financial planner Kalpesh Ashar about how NRIs or non-resident Indians who have lost jobs abroad due to COVID-19 should adjust to their financial lives when they shift back to India. But simultaneously, we've seen cases over the years where, you know, NRIs might just want to come back home voluntarily. That could be because of choice, such as retirement or children's education or better work opportunities, or even compulsions such as job loss or domestic issues, or to take care of aging parents. It could also be that some people might find it tough to adjust there, or say their careers may have stagnated and they may want to come back home on familiar ground. But coming back to India is not as easy as, you know, booking a flight ticket and just boarding the next available flight. You've got to move your money back and at the same time build a sound financial base here in India. So how do you do that? Kalpesh Ashar joins me again today to discuss this. Hi Kalpesh, welcome to Simply Seven. Good to have you back with us.
Yeah, hi Kaizad, and thanks for having me again and talking about this subject on NRIs.
Yes, quite. You've got quite a lot of viewers who are NRIs, and you know it's always a topic that's well resonated with many of our readers. So good to have you back with us again,
yes,
Kalpesh. Let's start off straight with the key question that many NRIs in this particular situation would want to know: that what is the documentation that one should begin with when one is thinking of coming back to India? I mean, you know, in India, anything that you need your PAN, you need your Aadhaar, you need your KYC. What are the overall documents that you need when an NRI wants to come back?
Okay, so, let's start with a scenario where we are talking about two profiles of that same individual. One is whilst he's an NRI, and second is that after he comes back to India and his status gets converted post the 182 days period into a resident status out here. So first, while he's an NRI and residing abroad, obviously when things are good, hunky-dory, and there's no plan of, getting back to India, and he would be looking at India as a destination for, his investments, obviously, in India through the various products available, be it bank FDs or the mutual funds or equities or something in real estate. The first and foremost thing which he would require here as an NRI to start his financial proceedings is obviously get a PAN card in place out here.
Okay.
And just for knowledge that, being an NRI, you don't require an Aadhaar card. It's not mandatory.
Okay.
So Aadhaar card and an NRI generally don't go together. But we have seen many NRIs somehow get that Aadhaar card also, but it really doesn't matter. So PAN card is more important. Apart from that, to make that investments into India whilst you are an NRI, you need your NRE and NRO accounts opened in an Indian bank out here, because that is going to be your source through which your investments are going to be put in the capital markets or real estate or wherever it is. Your investments are going to be routed through that, banking channels. And for that, it is the NRE and the NRO accounts. And there is a third account, which is a FCNR account, which is a foreign currency non-resident. We'll talk about that later on.
Okay.
But just to specify and get clarity on this NRE and NRO accounts, although the status we call is NRI, which is a non-resident Indian, in banking terms, what we need to open is an NRE and NRO, which is a non-resident external and a non-resident ordinary account. The status of a non-resident external account is basically that you can remit funds from abroad into this account in foreign currency. It gets converted into a rupee. These are rupee dominated accounts, both of them. And then you can make your investments out here. And so can you in the NRO account as well. Your foreign currency can go into the NRO account. Whereas your local currency also can go into NRO, it cannot go into an NRE account. NRE requires remittance from abroad.
Okay.
And one more combination here is you can remit funds from your NRE account to NRO, but you cannot transfer funds from NRO to NRE.
So, Kalpesh, just to get it straight, so far, you're saying if an NRI has been an NRI throughout, okay, while the time that he or she is abroad, and if they have, if they want to make some investments in India, okay, so they need that money outflow and inflow coming out to sort of, you know, money feeding into investments and then dividend proceeds or capital gains again coming back to their account. So for those purpose, that purpose, they need to open an NRE and an NRO account in India while they are abroad, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So basically from, so this is these are the two accounts open in India with any, either it could be an Indian bank or it could even be a foreign bank, but the branch has to be in India. Right?
Absolutely.
And from there, NRI can send money to this bank and they can send money in, let's say, dollars or in dirhams or in any other foreign currency. But you're saying in NRE account, the money in both the accounts, the money gets converted into Indian rupees, right? Both the accounts, the money gets converted into Indian rupees.
Absolutely. Okay. And one more thing is that all these banks which you mentioned are also having branches abroad. So you could have an ICICI bank, SBI bank, HDFC, Kotak. All these banks and Bank of Baroda and all these things also having their branches in various places in the Middle East, in Europe, in USA, Africa. So where NRIs can approach them to open their accounts from there as well.
From there as well.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So that is also, you know, possible. Okay. And the documentation, they take care of it and the account is opened as NRI.
Okay.
Now, coming back to your question. So this is while your status is as an NRI. Okay.
Correct.
And you are doing all these things. And our core topic for today is obviously when they are returning back to India.
Correct.
So once you are returning back to India and your status would automatically get converted from an NRI to a resident Indian out here.
Okay.
And as per the regulations here, as per FEMA or IT, you need to have that, you know, regulations adhered to out here. So you can't continue all the privileges which you had as an NRI, obviously, through the NRE and NRO accounts, continuing as a resident as well out here.
So in terms of documentation, how do you approach these two accounts when you're sitting over there? And if you decided to come over here, do you need to approach the banks over there in your city and tell them that, look, I'm going back now. So my NRE and NRO account would need to be converted into a resident account.
In fact, I'm not going back. It's not. In fact, I'm not going back abroad. And as per the you know, the regulations, I came into this country so and so date, and now it's been as per the law. I would just like to mention here that the conditions state that if you are in India for 182 days or more in the financial year, or you are in India for 60 days or more in the financial year and 365 days or more in the four financial years immediately preceding the relevant financial year, then, you know, your status would automatically change. But simply put, if one of the condition, which is if your stay in India is exceeding 182 days or more, automatically your status would convert from non-resident to resident.
Okay. Now, no, but the documentation has to be initiated once you come back to India.
I'm coming to that. Yeah. So once you are in India, within that stipulated 182 days period, whatever is the documentation which you are having your NRE or NRO account, you could go and then convert it physically in the bank or in the, you know, investment, you know, products which you've done. And I think being a, you know, law abiding citizen, you should preempt it and do it on your own before that, you know, period, you know, doesn't end or something. So I think ideal would be that by around 182 days, you should take action and have your non-resident account converted to a resident account.
Okay.
Now, once you do that, I'd like just to add here, many of the times the bank allow you to keep the same bank account number.
Okay. That's convenient.
Yeah, that's convenient. So you don't lose the thing, only the status changes. And once you are in India and you lose your non-resident status and you become a resident, I think it's mandatory if you don't already have, you should have an Aadhaar card immediately, you and your family members. So that is a must out here. So that is the core of how, you know, you can get your initial banking things in place.
And also, you have to inform your mutual funds. Do you have to inform your DMAT account that, okay, look, I'm no longer an NRI. I am now an Indian. Any documentation to be submitted there? Or does it, yeah, does it happen automatically?
So we have covered the banking part first. And obviously now, your mutual fund investments, your DMAT accounts earlier through the NRI route, if you wanted to invest in shares, you had to open an PIS account with a bank who would be managing your stocks portfolio, who would be buying and selling stocks for you. All those places you have to preempt and again get your compliance in place. So your status change, your bank details, if they have changed, you should preempt them with the mutual fund houses. With the DMAT account, if you have, you could change that. And also, apart from that, your insurance policies, if they've been issued, a change of location has to be told to them, because in insurance, where you reside also plays an important part.
Yes.
So that is an integral part of thing. So the idea is, wherever you have a say or wherever you have a presence in the financial investments, and if your NRI investments are no longer in that mode, I think you should be preempting that and going and changing the relevant status as per the regulations.
Okay. So it doesn't happen automatically just because you change your bank account status from NRE, NROs to resident. You have to actually do that, and you have to then approach all your individual investments, insurance Absolutely. Companies, wherever. Okay. So Absolutely. before, your groundwork, when you, financially speaking, Kalpesh, how soon should you start your groundwork before you board the return flight?
Okay. Good question. What happens and what we've observed in financial planning and generally is that people would want to take stock of the situation many a times at the very end of that deciding factor. They might want to say that I'm planning to come to India, and they might not give it a very long thought in advance. My suggestion would be, I think you should prepare for it if you are making a very structured and a very thoughtful exit from the foreign country back home. Then I think the process should start anything between 3 to 6 months prior to that.
Okay.
So that is the time, because there are many factors, Kaisa, which go into it. It's not just your gathering of your investments which you've made abroad, then collating all your bank accounts there, remitting money back home. These are the financial aspects. But believe me, there's a lot of, non-financial decisions and non-financial aspects which need to be taken into account when a person decides on these things. So, you have to take your family into confidence.
It's which is what I was going to ask you. I mean, because you're going to shift over here, whether you're going to move with your family. I mean, of course, there are a lot of softer aspects also that need to be dealt with, right? I mean, what are you going to do after you come back over here? Who's going to be who are you going to support? Do you have dependent parents, everything?
Yeah. So I'll go one by one on that, Kaisa. So when you do this type of a thing, we call this a transition planning.
Okay.
So it's more of a points to ponder. And first of all, I would say that an NRI who decides to come back, the most important thing is to take his family into confidence. Because the reason being that a family staying abroad obviously has got used to a certain lifestyle, a certain way of living, and the certain comforts which are there, which when you come back home, many a time you would find them amiss. Now, the family to immediately shift from zone A to zone B, and that to back home, probably forsaking some comforts and coming back here, is not a simple thing to do. And if you have small children, I think the transition is simpler. But you have teenagers, in your family, your kids are teens, and they have a mind of their own. And they are in the midst of their education. You try talking to them. They've got their friends there. They've got their circle there. And uprooting from one place and getting back somewhere here, I think it's a decision which is to be taken in unison. So your wife, if your wife is there, if your children are there, if you're well settled there, if you've been there for 10, 15 years, you've got a lot of, your DNA is very foreign. So let's put it that your DNA has to change, So you have to make that mental and physical transition, and you have to take your family along with it, because there are some cases where if a child who's grown up in a comfort of a certain place, if he's brought up and kept in another place where after a certain time he realizes that the same comforts are not available, it becomes a very difficult pill to digest for the parents to answer that why was this transition made. And God forbid if the transition has not been smooth, and back home in India, if the same comfort levels are not there, it becomes a very a tricky family situation. So that taking your family into confidence and doing it at a time which is apt is very necessary. Okay. Second is to decide the residence in India. I found this point very integral, that many people who are staying abroad are used to a certain residential comfort, And in India, when they want to come back out here, they might have, 90% of them have bought real estate. But the question is, they have not decided in advance whether the real estate they have bought is for their own self-use when they retire or come back to India, or is just a simple investment option. So just to give you a quote that, they might be staying in a place like, New York or Dubai or anywhere like that, a London. And those people have to come back in India. Now, they're tuned to certain mindset. And of all they have made a real estate investment probably in a, tier two type of a city in India. Now, that could be just with the point of view of investment. They could never come and settle down here. Now, for them to come and immediately settle down in India is going to be a challenge. Because first of all, real estate presents its own self as a, illiquid type of an asset where you cannot immediately sell it and, have that money to buy a new place. So that thought process has to be very important. Otherwise, the options, they have to think in advance, again, the 3 to 6 months, that are they going to come back and stay on rent? Do they have the cash flow that immediately when they come back to India, they have that, liquid cash available with them, which supports them for
this is year. Very important, very important.
Absolutely, because they don't have immediately that, cash flow up and running for them. Or do they have an ancestral home in India, in any of the cities where they can at least settle down for a year or two, pick up the momentum and then, look at what they want to do. So deciding the right residence in India is a thought-provoking thing. Third is securing education for children in India. So I'm sure many parents give it a thought. I'm reiterating, but these are very crucial points, level of education they want to give their kids in India. So when you come back, you might have come back, out of anything. Your job was not a happy place to be for you all, or you wanted greener pastures. Your finances have not done well out there, whatever. Your education for your children, if you set a certain standard and which you are adhering to in a foreign land, in all probability, you might not be able to continue with that out here. So I'm just trying to paint a little bit of a negative scenario on purpose, because these are the points have to be taken into mind. If the going is good, I always pray good for my clients or for everybody that, you have taken care of all the niceties. But these points have to be taken care that the children's education, in which level can the fees be afforded by the parents immediately once they land in India? Because education cannot take a break. You cannot afford to, have a miss of a 1 year or 6 months for your child.
It's a non-negotiable.
It's a must. It has to continue under any circumstances. Your residence, you can compromise where you're going to stay, but not your child's education. Okay. Fourth important part is your job or profession, which is to be pursued in India. So have you come out, with a mindset in that you're going to have a fixed, job already in hand? Or are you coming back to India? Then you'll give yourself certain time and then you look for something worthwhile out here. Or is that you're fed up of a job, in a foreign country for say 10, 15 years and you're planning to become an entrepreneur in India, which is again not a simple job. You have to give yourself good 3 to 5 years to settle down in that. Now, amidst all this turbulence, amidst all this, volatility, this settling down period, what is most important is, do you have a cushion of appropriate financial, profile with you back home in India? So that is very important. So, many a times people who come back to India want our services as financial planners whereas they have committed all the above stated mistakes or not given it a thought. And it's very difficult for us to rectify it from scratch because those things have not been given a consideration earlier. And that NRI is completely at a loss as to how does he resurrect his life, you know, right now.
So what you're saying is that it's not just a sentimental shift, it's a financial shift also. You have to shift your financial life.
It's a combination. It's a combination of both, you know. And secondly, the reason to be asked here is that when you mentioned very rightly the first points, that many people who wish to come back to India, there are mainly four, five reasons why they do that, you know. First and foremost is the job tenure is over. So if they have served for n number of years abroad and they're looking at retirement, obviously the love towards your motherland, your family, you want to come back, is all a given. So you should be prepared for it. And that's a very structured way of doing this, that they have planned in advance that my retirement is going to be in India. But retirement has its own issues. We can discuss that later on, you know, when they come back to India. Second is that many of the places yet are either under-equipped or others are very costly for your children's education. So that same children's education, if the family is there with the, you know, concerned person for a long time, he might be compelled to just send his wife and child back home to India. That also is a situation. It's like a fragmented coming back.
He might stay there.
Yeah, but his wife and his child have to come back to India because of the child's education. So there are many places where you might not have great universities where the person is employed. Or in certain cases, the cost of education abroad in higher education is so high that he might say India is cheaper.
Correct.
And he might want to send his wife and children back. So again, that is fragmented. So he might have to just provide for his wife and child back home and provide for himself out here. Third is obviously India's growth story, Kaisar, has been tremendous. So it's not those days of, you know, the 80s or the 90s or 70s where people used to rush out of India in hordes saying that we are going out for greener pastures and, you know, it's all great out there. Today, India has grown. The pay scale, the opportunities, the fields in which you can excel, people can, you know, pursue their professions, careers are all open in India today. So people make that calculated move that, you know, I'm doing this, I'm away from my family, it's been, you know, so many years, is it worth it? And then they take the call that, okay, I might as well call it quits there and I might come back to India. So these are factors also which, you know, compel a person to come back.
So many times, the thing is that you're working in a company abroad and that company wants to enter India, or there is an opportunity within the company also for the person to shift back at a very higher pay scale, at a higher level, back home.
Absolutely. But then the other factors have to be taken care of. It might be a great career prospect for that person.
Correct.
So we have seen many a times, you know, that even apart from what you rightly said, that the person might be getting a better opportunity. It's a very, you know, tricky, twisty psychological game, you know, that the person might get a better opportunity to go back home to India with a better pay. But then coming back to his family, the family might refuse here that, no, we don't want to go back to India. We are well settled out here.
Correct.
So the guy is caught in a, you know, catch-22 situation.
Obviously, it's a problem that you all have to sit together and decide. I mean, it's not just money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because we don't want, you know, we don't want a situation where there's disharmony and there's lots of money.
Correct. And you don't also want to in a situation where, you know, you come over here, then after 2-3 months, then again, you know, you pack your bags again, go abroad, because, you know, that it's not in harmony. The decision was not taken in harmony. So
yeah, so those are the people who have, suffered that situation also. I would say there's no better word rather than you suffered, that they've decided to come home mentally and, you know, physically and financially back home in India. But they have not found the situation back home conducive.
Yeah.
For them to even sit back and, you know, survive for 1 year. And if they are, you know, stars are good or lucky, they've got back a job back abroad and they've reshifted back.
Correct.
So again, now that's a very tricky thing, because you've come back here, your finances you've tried to put back in order, but you're not physically settled down or mentally settled down, and you have to again reposition yourself and go back.
Correct.
Or it could be a simple situation where again the company is playing hockey with you.
Yeah.
So the company suddenly from one back to the other.
Company suddenly back, yeah.
Yeah.
We obviously don't want anyone to be in that situation, but of course, I mean, it's good that you've brought out this situation, because it's possible. I mean, it can happen with anyone, and it has happened before. Right. Kalpesh, you know, I also want to talk about the investments, the documentation or the paperwork or the preparation in terms of investments that, you know, the NRI would be having abroad. When they are coming back to India, how should they approach their investments that they have over there and abroad? And also they're getting income. Also, it's a continuous income that they're getting over there, either in way of shares or in way of bonds. What to do? How to terminate that?
So first of all, let's understand the basic that whether your income will be taxed in India, it depends on the source of such income and your residential status in India. So like I'm reiterating that point that that's how it's going to be, you know.
Correct.
And first, your residential status needs to be established. That is very important for that particular financial year in question. So all the points which I mentioned about the 182-day period, and in fact, I would just like to reiterate one point here that in the last budget, the tenure of that 182 days in certain cases for NRIs was brought down to 120 days. But that comes with a clause of NRIs earning a certain amount more than a financial year. So that is a clause which is also applicable. So NRIs need to be aware of that 120 days clause also instead of the 182 days which would be applicable to that respective tax filing individual. Many a times individuals have got investments abroad. Now, obviously they have the wherewithal to invest in global markets out there.
Okay.
If they have the wherewithal to invest in global markets out there, they would be dealing in dollars and various currencies, local currencies. They would be keeping deposits there, buying bonds, or even having their investments in say USA or the mature markets out there. Now, that is not the complete story. The part of the story is they also got investments in India.
Correct.
Okay. Now, when we see their profile, collating the two, I think it is best left to a financial planner to discuss this with an individual if he seeks financial advice in the first place, that what is the main purpose of all these investments out there? And what are the type of investments in which he is invested? So hypothetically, if there are short-term, bonds which he's taken there or short-term deposits which he's taken there, which are nearing maturity, say by the time he is planning to come to India, and they have a certain tenure, like how we do in India, it's worth continuing those deposits for that particular period and then having it here, out here.
Okay.
Now, apart from that, if he's really into equities and he's invested in, say, for example, the S&P 500 or Dow Jones or NASDAQ or something like that, and it's a major component of his portfolio. Let's understand one thing here, that when you are investing abroad and you are a resident of India, the income which is there is going to be taxable in India.
Okay.
So you have to declare your global assets as well when you are here.
Okay.
So you have to keep that in mind and then take a prudent call as to whether you want to, completely wind up the whole thing and make a fresh start and come to India.
Okay.
Or you want to let that continue where it is and then adhere to the taxation norms.
Okay.
Now, in many countries, when we are seeking that, one integral part is to adhere to the DTAA, which is the Double Tax Avoidance Agreement. So you don't, end up paying taxes in both the countries.
Okay.
So your chartered accountant has to be completely in the know of things as to your global. And even now, I think as per the IT Act, everyone has to declare, a resident Indian has to declare his global assets and global holdings.
Correct. That's true.
So obviously that will be brought into the light. So the answering your question, that if it is in advance that we know that what it is, we can guide and tell them that these are the norms in India which you have to follow. If you're ready to undergo that, then you might as well keep those foreign holdings or something, or understanding the taxation whilst you are there in thing.
Correct.
You might as well, redeem them or liquidate them and get that money with you and remit it to India where you make a fresh start.
Correct.
in the rupee component and into the investment modes which we follow.
Or given the fact that they have a bank account over there which might be linked with the investments, and if you're coming over here and winding up your bank account, then you may as well sell off your investments abroad and perhaps want to shift back to an FCNR account, as you explained us last time, and in India and then take a call, let's say 2 or 3 months once you settle down, and then see if you want to convert that into your Indian deposits and merge it with your Indian income, or see what you want to do. But right, I mean, Kalpesh, you have to talk to your chartered accountant, you have to talk to your financial planner in advance, because situations are very different, as you rightly said.
So you hit the nail on the head, Kaisar. So I was just about to mention that FCNR is an option that if people who are winding up, they obviously have a dollar account abroad or something. And if they want to keep that dollar thing intact for a while, although FCNR rates are very, very less in India, it's hardly 1% or 2%. But you get your currency intact in the foreign currency thing. So that gives you, and most importantly, once it's kept in India, it is a tax free. So that is very important to know. So then that gives that person breathing time, that what does he want to do with that dollar denominated thing. And other thing is like how we said about giving it a thought. If that person is in the winding up process, let that concerned individual make a list of all his bank accounts, all his investments which he has done abroad, and systematically start, winding them down. Because that is very necessary. I've seen individuals who in the gush or in the excitement or in the tension of coming back have actually not closed their overseas accounts.
Oh, okay.
Bank accounts or investments, and they're lying just, very loose out there.
And they've come back. Okay.
So that's why in financial planning, we say that have a complete, control over your, bank accounts, list them down, write it down.
And a roadmap.
And a roadmap, and don't just keep anything hanging for the heck of it. Just don't go around opening 5-10 bank accounts and not even keeping a note of that you've got bank accounts here and there. So that type of a thing, it's very necessary to be financially responsible. It doesn't matter you're an NRI or a resident Indian.
Correct. That's very useful information, Kalpesh. Kalpesh, one thing which you touched upon last time also, and which I also want to bring it up again, is the question of insurance. When you're shifting from abroad to over here, how should you approach your insurance tangle? Because by the time you shift over, you may not be in your 20s, you may be even in your 30s or 40s or even 50s also. As you said, that if you want to come back for retired life, you might even be in your late 50s also. So then how should you approach your insurance question over here? You must be insured, right?
Absolutely. I think there's nothing more important than that. And God forbid, if in the initial part of your return to India, if you are hospitalized and your insurance is not in order, I think that's a big jolt for anybody. Yeah. You would be cursing India to no end.
Correct. That's the worst thing to happen, right? I mean, you're coming back and before you even start planning your finances, you're hospitalized.
And it could happen. So it's not just a very airy fairy thing which we are talking. It could happen. In that case, there are many places where individuals who are working in large companies abroad, they have a life insurance cover, which is probably globally covered.
Okay.
So because their pay scale and everything is on that manner, or they've negotiated it, or they are, quite tuned to the fact that insurance is an integral part. Probably what could happen is that if the company was supporting as a part of their package abroad, but the cover is still available here, and if that premium is affordable, with that same thing, you would not like to distort a good, life cover policy, a term plan type of a thing, even if it is taken abroad. And if it is affordable to that person back home, and it is valid if he's ready to pay the premium on his own, he could continue doing that. But that's a very small possibility. First thing, like what you rightly said, is that once he's here, now, that doesn't have this regulation of resident or non-resident. I think the first thing you come here, if you're underinsured or not insured at all, because many sensible people have taken their insurance in India from abroad as well, and they're covered when they come here. So now life and health both, I think, needs to be taken on priority, how we evaluate what is your requirement for life cover or for health insurance alike in both cases.
Okay.
Now, the premiums for health insurance abroad generally are a little bit on the higher end.
Okay.
And there might be policies which, like the life insurance, could cover you globally.
Hmm.
But again, your cash flow needs to be understood, that in that situation for the first year, are you in a situation to afford those premiums which you've been paying earlier?
Okay.
So first and foremost, both your insurance requirements need to be met. And in fact, here I would expand the horizon, that look at insuring your entire family immediately. Don't just look at it on a single basis, because your family is also going to reside out here.
Correct.
So along with you. So look at it on a fresh perspective, and from a life insurance policy cover, surely it's the tried and tested term plan. And health insurance, again, when you're coming back here, get a proper evaluation done of your existing policies, if they are good enough to continue or not, continue, whether you can pay the premiums, or just simply shut your eyes and get a very adequate health insurance in place.
Okay. Okay. That's very
important. One more thing. Yeah. Yes, one more thing, Kajas, I would like to add. Again, it's a part and a pillar of contingency of financial planning, which is a contingency fund. So very necessary, because like we earlier mentioned during our conversation, that anybody would take a decent 6 to 12 months to settle down in India. And you would not expect his income to be that robust from day one, even if he's lucky and doing good things. So a contingency fund in India is necessary, that he has that money parked in a good either in a debt fund or in his bank account, where his monthly expenses are taken care of, so that way he's not worried about the day-to-day running of his life out here while he gets back on track.
Correct. Okay. Kalpesh, thank you so much. I think we've really run out of time, but we had a very good discussion. I think this will be a very good guide for all those our NRI friends, readers, who might want to, at any point in time of their lives, want to shift back to India. This is the guide, I think, that they should really listen to and follow the advice that you've given. Thank you so much, Kalpesh. And we look forward to having
you. Thanks for having me.
And we look forward to having you again sometime in the future.
Sure.
That's all, folks, we have for you today. Keep listening to Simply Save, and we'll be back very soon with another exciting podcast of Simply Save. For more news, views, and updates, keep reading moneycontrol.com.